Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Wait What If podcast. Before we get started, I just want to tell you about WeAreDapperTies.com. We Are Dapper Ties is owned and run by brothers Andrew and Julian. They started the company as broke college students who were tired of paying ridiculous prices for quality ties. If you're putting on ties every day for work and you want to just kind of stand out and you want a tie that pops, check out WeAreDapperTies.com. I'm not kidding you. These are really, really cool ties. So they're knitted, so they have like a texture to it. You know, when was the last time you saw someone wearing a tie and you were like, hey, it's a nice tie, man? You probably didn't look twice at it. It probably was blue, maybe had an anchor on it, or Santa Claus. Well, these ties actually stand out. They sent me one to try it out. It's made really, really well, and they really do stand out. There's a texture to them that will have someone who looks at you, and instead of just seeing another person in a tie, they'll look at that tie and be like, they'll say, wow, that's a nice tie, man. You are looking pretty dapper. So check out WeAreDapperTies.com. If you find something you like, you can pick it up and then put in what if, just together, one word, what if, as a promo code, and you get free shipping. The ties are $15 a pop. It's $5 for shipping. You just save $5 right there because you are a dapper person for listening to the Wait What If podcast. They know that you're smart, and smart people like to wear ties. Anyways, today's episode.
Sir, so you harassed me from across the street. Why is that, sir? Why did you yell shit at me from across the street? And please tell my audience what was said. You said that men's rights activism is stupid, Dan, and I don't know who you are. And I don't know why you think that I'm a mentor.
Let's go out of this fucking store.
So you harassed me from across the street. Now they're attacking me. Great. So you harassed me from across the street. Yeah. So why'd you do that? Why? Well, first of all, why do you think that I am that? Second of all, why is that stupid?
Why is it stupid?
Yeah.
Because it's been a male-dominated society.
What about circumcision, idiot?
Oh my god, oh.
Out of the store, dude.
No, you harassed me from across the street,
no,
dude.
I told you men's rights activism was fucking stupid.
Yeah, but if you had done that to a woman, what would that have been considered, dude?
Sexism?
Exactly, but
you're not disenfranchised on a large scale. Sorry,
but yelling shit across the street at people,
it's
like.
The most harmful thing I've ever met.
So why'd you do that?
Well, because you post a bunch of hateful shit on the internet.
Such as?
So. When you learn how to speak to people on the internet and like learn how to stop like giving feminist shit, then people will listen to you.
Feminism is an ideology that deserves to be critiqued, just like anything. Just like, yeah. So why did you yell that shit across the street at me, dude? And why? First of all, why do you think I'm an MRA, and why is that bad? Why do you think I am that, and why is that bad?
Why do you have to film someone you're arguing with?
This is Brood Cafe.
Why are you filming someone you're arguing with? You can't answer that question. Why are you filming someone?
For posterity.
For posterity?
Yeah.
So you can go home and jerk off to it, right?
That was a sexist microaggression. That was a sexist microaggression.
You're a balding loser. That's ageism now.
Ageism.
That has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with your hair.
Ageism, right?
You're mad because you're ugly.
Girls rule, bitch.
Wait, so that was a sexist microaggression just now.
It wasn't sexist. I said you're ugly.
So sexism, ageism, we got sexism, ageism at the Brood Cafe.
All it is beauty and
bitch.
And you're not part of it.
Let's go.
So that guy harassed me from across the street and y'all are cool because I'm a male.
A lot of people are going to harass you because you're a fucking loser.
So you're in favor.
So to give you a little background on what that was, tonight's interview is with Daniel Durst, who is the creator of Durst the Worst. That's D-U-E-R-S-T, the W-E-W-U-E-R-S-T. It's a YouTube channel, which he describes as a center-left liberal-ish guy who goes around filming political protests, live bands, and other crazy random occurrences. He's part of my project I've been doing lately. I interviewed about four guys that have YouTube channels, and they go out during these political protests, and they capture the overall political climate. We are in just a different age of being able to stream these events live, being able to get news sources via alternate news, you know, instead of, you know, watching CNN, Fox, or ABC or NBC, we can actually watch, you know, these political events like at Berkeley live. And that's, and not from, you know, one of the big networks, from individuals like him. So my last interview was with the Based in LA guys. And this one's going to be along those lines. The Based in LA guys are conservative, and Daniel Durst is more of a liberal. But what they have in common is the desire to engage in conversation. They want political discourse. They want to debate because they understand that's how civil politics works. But nowadays, you see people who are quick to throw rocks and literally, you know, go to baseball bats, just scream each other down. They don't want to listen. And it's kind of a representation of our modern lifestyles of being online and surrounding yourself with like-minded people and being uncomfortable going outside of that. Meaning, you know, if you're interested in politics and you're interested in what's going on in the world out there, you have to go to sites that you, if you're a liberal, you have to read Fox News. You have to go to The Blaze. You have to read The Daily Wire. If you're a conservative, you have to go on The Huffington Post. You have to read these different ideas, or you're going to be just inundated with one ideology, and you're not going to be able to have any sort of discourse. It's just a weird environment we're in, and these guys really put a lot on the line by putting their faces out there, putting their ideas out there permanently for the world to see. There's this weird de facto censorship or this movement to quell freedom of speech. And if you can't do it through, you know, repealing the First Amendment, then you can do it by swinging baseball bats or screaming at someone.
You're listening to the Wait, What If podcast.
Are we recording now or no?
Sure, why not? I'm always recording from the second I start talking. So tell me about your channel. What made you start it? It's Durst the Worst, right?
Yeah, Durst the Worst on YouTube.
And
what made me start?
And for my listeners, just so it's Durst, the Weurst, right? You're spelling it that way?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. So like a exact moment when I decided to do this, or like, I'm not sure. Like I first started off sitting in front of the camera doing sort of off the cuff rants about whatever sort of issue, you know, I read about or scrolled past on social media.
Okay.
I kind of realized I wasn't the best at doing that, and I wasn't really getting that many eyeballs on that.
Right.
And so I don't know, basically the first breakout thing that I got to cover was when Milo Yiannopoulos came to DePaul University in Chicago, and there was that, like, I think this was like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Roughly point, like two summers ago. It was like in mid-May, I think, in 2015, I want to say. Or was it 2016? I'm bad at
it times. Might have been last year. I mean, I know he's been, he blew up in the last, you know, maybe 18 months. So it could have been last year, but I mean, I've been following his story for about, gosh, I want to say 3 or 4 years since he was with Breitbart and everything.
Yeah. So basically a friend and I went down there and just to see the talk in general, but on the car ride there, we were like caught in a traffic jam. So we were like, oh, we're going to be late. We're probably going to miss the talk. The talk was off, or at least like most of it.
Yeah.
But so I broke out a live stream on my phone of the talk, and then just right in the middle, like, as you know, like some Black Lives Matter people jumped up on the stage and grabbed the mic and pranced back and forth, menacing him, you know, getting in his face and shit. So at that moment we looked at each other and we were like, damn, this is going to be insane when we get there. And sure enough, like we roll up and there's like gaggles of people just like chanting like either Black Lives Matter or build the wall, you know, back and forth with the pageantry, basically. Right. And so I just busted out my phone and started walking around recording, just asking people like why do you dislike Milo Yiannopoulos? Like, why do you hate him? What policies of his do you hate? And just bringing up this guy's name got me the most, like, over-the-top reactions possible. And I don't know. I mean, I put that up on the internet. Like, I just put up, like, I want to say, like, 10 or 11 clips of that event. And it got me, like, something like 300,000 or 500,000 views total.
Wow.
And I was like, dang, there's something to this. Like, people really want to see, you know, raw, uncut takes of this stuff that isn't sanitized by the mainstream media with, like, a 45-second sound clip that's either, like, omitting certain key points of information or biased to one side or the other.
Oh, sure. You know? Or with their own editorialization in it, you know?
Which, to be fair, I have added, like, my own opinion here and there, but, like, I try to get at least what's happening, you know, how the best I can, rather than just, like, a narrative, you know what I'm saying?
And that, you know, I'll tell so you, that's, I was just going to say, I'll tell you why that people are kind of drawn to that is because it's all just a product of, I guess, the last 5 to 10 years where technology has caught up in such a way that you can live stream anywhere. And if you're spread throughout the country, like I'm in a rural town outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, so I don't see anything. I don't see any of that. But I want to see what's going on, like at Berkeley or like you said, over at DePaul. And now the abilities to be there and to take part in it, it's kind of shrunk the country in a way. So you're tapping into a source of, I guess, need, you know what I mean? A want to be involved in this or at least experience it firsthand. And that's, I mean, you know, talk about hitting or what's it called? Striking when the iron's hot. I mean, it sounds like you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like there is a demand for this and it's, to me, it's like, I remember feeling like a rush doing this. Like it was, I don't know what about it. I mean, it's just like, I guess the feeling that you could be like attacked, maybe not necessarily like physically attacked at any moment, but like someone could engage in an argument or like attack you verbally at any moment. It's just kind of exciting.
Right.
To me, I don't know how else to explain it. It sounds kind of sick, really. But
no,
like,
man. Have you seen the
it's
movie?
It's really exciting.
Have you seen the movie? Like, I'm sorry, man. I keep talking over you because I think there's like maybe a 1 second delay. So it's making it tough.
No, that's not. Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
No, I haven't.
It's got Tina Fey in it. It sounds like something I wouldn't want to watch, but somehow I found myself watching. I don't know if it was on HBO or something, but it's all about wartime correspondents, you know, journalists who go over to like Iraq and Afghanistan and become addicted to that lifestyle, become addicted to, I guess, reporting, you know, while putting your life on the line, almost like an adrenaline addiction. And it sounds like that's what you're getting here in the United States.
A little bit. I mean, maybe not to that extent. I mean, the closest thing to that would have been the second Battle of Berkeley that I went to back in April.
Right.
Where, I mean, you know, it wasn't exactly like heavy artillery or anything, but Antifa were throwing M80s into crowds and sort of, and these like gas canisters that people have sort of theorized like, well, where the hell are these guys, you know, these street thugs getting these like police grade, you know, gas canisters and whatnot, you know, because that's actually like stuff that they were throwing around.
Wow.
So that was really disconcerting and like all the pepper spray in the air. And, you know, there's actually a video clip that somebody sent me that, you could find on my channel. I mirrored it. There's footage. I didn't even realize as it was happening, but, basically, I was in this argument with these extremist Antifa feminazi social justice warriors about the grab them by the pussy thing.
Right.
And basically, I was kind of being a little bit trolly with it. I was basically trolling and playing devil's advocate a little bit, saying like, well, you know, what if she wanted him to grab her by the pussy? And then they flipped out at me and were like, are you saying that women want to be raped? Is that what you're saying? And they flipped out on me and like started advancing toward me. And I was like, no, wait, that's not what I meant. No, let me explain myself. And then just all of a sudden from behind me, some Antifa thug grabbed my phone that I was recording with that had the entire day's worth of footage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he hurled it into the crowd.
Ugh.
And the first thing on my mind was, oh shit, I flew all the way out to Berkeley. And if I can't get that phone back, all of this is going to be for naught. And so I just immediately tried to like rush my way through the crowd. And I eventually, I mean, I recorded myself doing this with my backup camera. Like I had to dive into a storm drain that they'd thrown it into to retrieve it. The screen was all cracked and everything. But later on, somebody sent me the video from a side view. While I was trying to get my phone back, none other than Miss Yvette Falarca was depicted pushing me as I was trying to do that. But it was just a, you know who Yvette Falarca is?
No, I was just going to ask. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know about By Any Means Necessary, BAM?
Yeah. Yep. I've heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So she is like a main operative in that group. And she's actually like, she got arrested for sort of inciting violence, like street violence, like during a lot of these protests. Cause she's on video, like attacking a lot of people. And she went on Tucker Carlson and talked about how like she's down to shut people down that she thinks are fascist by any means necessary, hence the name.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised you don't know who Yvette Falarca is. Like, yeah. She's been like big name in the this sort of like independent media sphere, you know.
No,
she's,
yeah. Don't know who she is.
She's one of the main people galvanizing violence against people that basically people that are to the right of Karl Marx or Leon Trotsky.
Okay.
Like anyone who's not an extreme leftist is a fascist Nazi who needs to be shut down.
Well, I wasn't, my show completely, I dedicated all my time. Like my job is just how I pay the bills. I dedicated most of my time to my podcast, and it was really just about talking about, you know, the stuff that keeps you up at night. And then ever since the election, you know, I don't really watch TV. I'll just sit there and flip through YouTube, which is how I get half my guests, believe it or not. That's how I got you, because I saw you talking to Jeffrey from Based in LA, and I was like, hey, we'll check him out. And I followed, I looked you up, and I was like, all right, we'll give him a call. So I got a few more guys lined up. But the point is, like, I'm just amazed. Like, I don't know what to make of this. I don't know if this whole Black Lives Matter, BAM, stifling free speech, this violence, I don't know if this is just like a meme that's going to go away, you know, something that is just people are hip to it now and, you know, find their little, I would guess you would call it a calling. Their way to get out there and get patted on the back and virtue signal and everything, and then it'll eventually dwindle away. And that's what I'm hoping for. Perfect example. You had a video up, and I think it was one of the more recent ones you put up, where it was this Black Lives Matter rally, and this guy is like on his whatever you call that, the bullhorn, and he's saying, "All right, now who wants to get up and talk?" And it was just crickets. No one came up to talk with them. And then every now and then you would see someone come up and just drivel would come out of their mouth. Nothing important whatsoever. Ever. And people would, you know, clap, and you could see them walking back like, nice. I just virtue signaled. I showed that I'm part of the team, and I got my trophy. And, you know, that's what it seems like to me. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, first of all, big shout out to my guy, Very Bad News. He's the guy that I mirrored that video from.
Okay.
He's an up and coming guy out of Seattle doing similar stuff, but every now and then I'll mirror his videos and put like a little link in the description to try to get people over to his channel. But
okay.
Yeah, everybody should check him out. But yeah, I remember that video was one of the speakers was talking about something to the effect of post-traumatic slave disorder.
Okay.
Which I don't think any reasonable medical professional would ever acknowledge as being a thing. Like, I maybe this is just my white male privilege speaking, but I really don't think that that's a fucking thing. But I don't know. I think that the left, from my perspective, is getting into sort of a Tea Party-esque mode right now.
Okay.
Which, if these political cycles are any indication, I mean, like, you don't see the Tea Party really out there burning effigies of Obama, and you don't see them like dressing up like, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin with like guns and shit. So I think this stuff rise in waves. So I think like what you're saying, like, will this die off? I think it probably will, you know, like when donations wear off or it's not economically viable, for a lot of these media organizations to talk about like white privilege and stuff. Like, I think when enough people realize like it's kind of bullshit, I don't think it's going to last too much longer. Even the people who agree with this stuff are, in my mind, from my perspective, losing steam. You know, I think the more eyeballs you get on these independent videos of people just like going absolutely apeshit because like a conservative speaking on campus, I think more and more people, even on the left, like the far left, are saying like, wow, this makes absolutely no sense that you would react this way. You know, at like the Evergreen College stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, that's another like Brett Weinstein is suing for $3 million. There's like $3.8 million. Did you hear about that?
No, he's suing Evergreen.
Yeah. He's suing for an ass load of money. And so, I mean, like stuff like that. I mean, all this adds up. I think people are going to become more grounded, more centered, and, you know, not be on either extreme, you know, and also this goes for the hard right too. When you see a lot of these like hardcore right wingers dressing up like Roman soldiers and like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like dude, guys,
there's
like,
there's some funny people out there. I don't even know their names, but you start seeing them showing up on like, if I'm watching one of your videos or someone else's videos, I'll say, hey, I've seen that guy. And I think the guy you're talking about, or at least there's some guy who wears American flag shorts and he goes around shirtless and he wears a Roman helmet. But I've seen him on like a half a dozen channels.
That guy has switched sides a whole bunch. And I think he's engaging in street theater like a lot of them are. And I think that they're going to get bored with it. That's my prediction. You know, okay, they're going to realize that it's not economically viable. I mean, someone like Based Stickman, I think has made, he's carved out somewhat of a niche. Like he can make some degree of cash on this,
right?
Like getting flown around to do speeches at all these events. But just like a lot of these movements, like the Tea Party, and I predict the hardcore SJW Black Lives Matter thing, mm-hmm, a lot of these, they're not going to last for, you know, that much longer, in my opinion, my prediction.
Right now it's a meme, but in 30 years it could be our culture, you know, and that's maybe I'm looking at it as a pessimistic view. Because I think it's extreme. It's absolutely extreme. I think racism is an individual thing. And if someone's a racist, you call them out, and then obviously those people will get what they deserve. I mean, someone who's walking around being a racist is going to be isolated, or he's going to align himself with other racists, and that's fine too, because at least we know where they are and what they're saying. But if this meme becomes part of our culture, then it may actually change things. You know, we may actually start seeing this, I guess, coming into our daily lives versus it just being this, I don't even know what to make of it now. I guess it's really a push to perpetuate victimhood. I don't know. I don't know if I clarified that right, but
it's kind of like they're, when they say acknowledge privilege and correct and learn, what is the phrasing? You learn to acknowledge and correct your privilege or dismantle your privilege. To me, that just reads like, you know, like praying like your original sin away, or like, it's like praying the straight white male away.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of pray the gay away, it's like pray the straight white colonizing patriarchal rape culture privilege away. You know, it's just, to me, it's just equally religious. But instead of washing the satanic sins away, it's just washing, you know, the privilege away. You know, the patriarchy is to feminism as Satan is to Christianity, basically. That's how I view it.
And what's even more amazing about that whole, or you know, that whole
thought process is time and time again, it's been proven incorrect. You know, the whole idea, let's just go with feminism. All right, so I have a daughter. And if my daughter wants to be an astronaut, she can be an astronaut. No one's going to hold her back. That's what she, if that's what she wants to do. I don't know, she's three. She wants to be a princess right now, but I'm pretty sure she can't do that. So, but the idea there is I'm pretty sure set up in our society, there is no one holding her back from doing that. I mean, for Christ's sakes, Krista McAuliffe was a astronaut and she was a teacher, right? And that was 40 years ago or 30 years ago. It's just not there. But when you don't have that there, so let's say you're a 22-year-old girl, or maybe even younger, but we'll say 22-year-old girl who just graduated from DePaul and she has a feminist degree or whatever. And now she looks and she says, holy shit, I have no struggle. You know, I just got this degree. I have no, I'm lacking purpose. I'm lacking the struggle. Well, frickin' create one, right? Okay, there's the wage gap, there's the glass ceiling, there's and it's, I mean, I want to put these people into, you know, a time machine and then see how what it was like to be a woman in Victorian England, or in 1950 US, you know.
Well, wait a minute, Kevin, they were called bossy, okay? You really have to acknowledge like the struggle of being called bossy when you're like a manager, you know, as a woman, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, talking to like college feminists is real, or like wannabe career feminists is really frustrating to me. Like, and I do it a lot because I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on the east side, which is a hardcore, like hipstery feministy area. I mean, like the university is right over here. And I mean, I've talked to feminists a great deal and, I'll bring up constantly like, hey, wait a minute. Like if men are so privileged, then why are so many men homeless? For just one example, throw out one example, male homelessness.
Right.
And then their immediate retort will be, well, the patriarchy hurts men too. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Does the patriarchy hurt men more than it hurts women? Okay, then wait a minute. Then by definition, it's not a patriarchy.
Right.
Like if it hurts men, the very definition of patriarchy is a system that de facto benefits men and masculinity, right? And defers to men, and men have all these extra rights and privileges and stuff like that. But if your explanation for disproportionate male homelessness is patriarchy, then you're kind of like in a circular loop, aren't you? Like circular logic that makes absolutely no sense. You see, I'm not really articulating.
No, it makes sense, but I'll tell you what your problem is, what you're doing wrong. You're using logic. And when you bring logic to the equation and you take away how it makes you feel personally, then it's, you know, you're doing it wrong. You have to, if you're going to have an argument, you have to say how it makes you feel. And that's the meat of the argument.
Well, what it makes me feel like enraged when I see some upper middle class girl, like in her early 20s, like just the other day, like I saw someone posting on Facebook about how some guy like catcalled her. And while I will acknowledge like catcalling is one of the most like creepy, like messed up things you can do,
it's just cheesy. and it's creepy. Yeah, you're right.
Like, okay, so homeless dudes are catcalling you and you think this is the patriarchy. Like, oh my God, I hate the patriarchy. This person even said that in their post. Like, oh, I hate the patriarchy so much. It's like, okay, well, you just hate that a guy who's homeless and haggard, who you view as being beneath you socially and economically, you just hate the fact deep down that that guy had the gall to even acknowledge you. Like, this guy's beneath you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you view this guy as being scum, but rather, you know, if some rich guy, you know, who's famous came up to you and unsolicited started talking you up, chatting you up, you most likely would have been down. I don't know. Like, am I being callous? Am I being unkind? I don't know. I, I don't know if you saw this video that I put out, but you know the do you know about the Brood Cafe debacle?
No, that wasn't the one where they got in trouble for making tacos, was it?
No. Basically, I was just walking down the street just in my area the other day, or like a month ago. And from out of nowhere, this like bike hipster yelled some bullshit out at me. Like, I think he said something like you dumbass MRA or something like, he said like, you're stupid for being an MRA, Dan, or something like that. Like he addressed me by name.
What's an MRA?
Accused a men's rights advocate. Man, how do you not know this? Holy crap.
I'm getting schooled, really, man. I'm in your wheelhouse.
Well, basically, it's a feminist pejorative to anyone who has ever brought up men's issues, like male homelessness, circumcision, what else? Like male suicide.
Okay.
And the feminist straw man is that, you're just threatened by women, you know, gaining more equity in society. And it's like, no, people who are non-feminists are basically telling you, hey, women are gaining more equity in society. You, as you put it, you don't have any more dragons to slay. Mm-hmm. You can kick your feet up, crack open a beer, congratulate yourself for a job well done, and stop like attacking men. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So basically, I was walking down the street. I got harangued or harassed from across the street by this hipster feminist dipshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, like, you know what? I'm going to bust out my phone and start recording. You know, I'm going to go up and like confront this guy. But I ended up following this dude into this cafe that he works at, Brood Cafe.
Okay.
And basically I was like, hey, why did you, you know, tell me why you like yelled stuff at me? And he ended up like, you know, attacking me. Like, I guess attacking me is kind of a strong way of putting it, but he grabbed for my phone and like, basically it like spilled back out into the street, and they were just like insulting my appearance and all this stuff and saying like you're hateful because you criticize feminism on the internet and stuff like that. And basically I'm going all out. Like I said, like I'm doing this YouTube thing. This is what I want to make into my my job. I mean, like, I like to work for myself, and so I'm out there like taking all kinds of like false accusations about being called like alt-right MRA and stuff. And like, so people are in the wake of this Brood Cafe thing. They've been like posting my whereabouts. Like one person drove past me and was like, hey, they went on Facebook and were like, hey, Dan's standing out front of this coffee shop, you know, well, here, this is where he lives. You know, he's an alt-right Nazi MRA, this, that, and the other. And, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, it's fascinating in and of itself. I mean, it's like, I can't figure out, well, I can figure it out. You know, you put a camera on them and they want to shut it down. They want to throw your camera in a storm drain. They want to, you know, shout you down. It's because when you have no argument, when you're standing on a, what do they call that? Your foundation is sand instead of stone.
When your argument is you are hateful because you criticize this. You are a, you hate this group because our, of course, conveniently, our opinion is correct by definition. And if you disagree with our opinion, you're a bad person.
Exactly.
When that is your only argument, you have to physically shut people down who actually have an argument. That's basically what it boils down to. And, you know, I've like, since I've started this channel, like a lot of people, you know, that I used to think I was friends with, you know, have either deleted me on social media or sort of like, you know, ostracized me or what have you. But I say, you know, like if they can't handle your opinions or whatever to that point, then they probably weren't your friends to begin with.
The other problem is when you don't talk about it, like let's say, like right now we're talking about it and we're putting, you know, what's going on out there and discussing, which is absolutely fine. But when you don't talk about the issues, when you shut them down and you go after straw men or you go after, you know, like these dragons that aren't there, the actual issues are being put aside.
the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, has actually attempted to put the Kekistan flag and Pepe as hate symbols, like, on their list. So that, I mean, I'm sorry to say, like, that makes them not credible anymore. Like, yeah. Or if they ever were, I don't know to what degree people view the Southern Poverty Law Center as being credible, but I can say that, you know, if they're going to label Pepe the Frog as a hate symbol, like a cartoon frog.
Yeah. I don't even know where it came from. I just know people started using them, and I was like, all right. And maybe it's because I'm freaking old and out of the loop, or I just don't give a shit, and that could be the majority of it. But I don't even, like, I don't even know what to say, because there's no cartoon that would offend me. There's not a situation where I would be taken aback by, even if someone wore their pussy hat to work. Right? That should be offensive. I don't care. So you're wearing a hat. It doesn't do anything to me.
Yeah, no, it's just like, that type of thing would make me roll my eyes and sort of like snicker under my breath. Like, you gals, you know, rather than pool all your money to donate like a fat stack of cash to Planned Parenthood, you spent like all this money on transportation and food and lodging and pussy hats.
Yeah.
To basically stand there and take Instagram photo selfies to virtue signal about how much you care about women's rights.
Right.
When by the way, your leaders, Linda Sarsour, has openly advocated for jihad and openly said that Ayaan Hirsi Ali deserves to have her vagina taken away from her,
right,
for advocating against female genital mutilation. And I believe another leader of their movement, the name is escaping me right now, but she literally kidnapped, tortured, raped, and killed a man. These two people are, you know, leading speakers in the Women's March movement, you know. But nobody in the media is covering that. Nobody in the mainstream media is pointing that out. I mean, and it's just everybody in my feed is either complaining about Russia or like some other nonsense thing. I mean, like, I don't know what I'm not really informed on the Russia thing, to be honest with you. But
I stopped. Probably once things stop getting interesting, the news bores me. I used to go on all the sites. I mean, and that's something that's lacking from people too. You know, they find out, you know, who is speaking to them and to their viewpoints, and then they just go there every day. And it could be just some shit blog news company. It's not even, you know, not even news, but if it's speaking their language and it's, you know, patting themselves on, if it's virtue signaling, they'll go right there. Same thing on the right, you know, they'll go to, I don't even know. Cause I don't really pay attention to the news anymore, but during the election, you're damn right, I was paying attention to the news, cause it was freaking entertaining as all get out. See, I had no dogs in the fight. I'm a libertarian. I'm a radical libertarian. You know, if you told me tomorrow that they were pulling back every single regulation that the country has ever created in the last 250 years, except for the Bill of Rights, and then maybe some commerce things that kind of make sense, but I would be elated. You know, that's my stance. As little government as absolutely possible. But I totally lost what I was saying there. But the I go to the news though, and all I see, I can't even keep up with it. It's something about Russia. Okay, they got a smoking gun with Russia. They don't have a smoking gun with Russia. They have Kushner doing something. They have. And I'm like, I'm done with this. I think the only thing I'm interested in right now is in North Korea, because they got nukes.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's sort of important. I'll keep my eye on that. But everything else, I mean, it's... And maybe, you know what, maybe I'm doing myself a disservice by kind of doing this series where I'm talking to folks. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe I should go back to just, you know, what I called, what I think I told you we call pot talk, you know, and just have fun with it and not worry about any of this stuff. But I don't know. I also feel that, you know, people have a duty to talk about it, you know, folks like you, folks like the Based in LA guys, folks like Sargon and who's that other kid? I think is hysterical. gosh, he's got a huge channel. He looks like he's 12. Hunter Avalon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
People like that. I mean, it's important.
One guy that I'm getting really into lately is the squatting slob.
Yeah. Isn't he good?
He had a meteoric rise, to say the least, man. He's because he's kind of like, I mean, not exactly, but for some reason, he just immediately reminded me of Ali G.
That's right.
Remember the Ali G?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he wasn't quite, he's like not quite as much playing an overt character,
mm-hmm.
but he's doing a persona. Like, I don't think, you know, I don't think, yeah, I think, I don't know. I just think that guy's really funny. Like, everybody should go subscribe to the Squatting Slav.
What's funny too is the folks who are being the most vociferous. I don't know if I'm using the right term, but the ones who are making the most noise, I guess the ones who are speaking out against what we're seeing going on, are from like a spectrum of political views, you know, and I think it's funny that the second you try to speak to someone with Antifa, you're a diehard Trump supporter. You know, that's exactly who you're, even though you might not be, you could be a classic liberal. You could be like, Sargon is a classic British liberal, which is more like a JFK liberal, over here. But that group knows how to get along. And they're fine with their political differences. They'll bond together as long as they can talk about it. You told me about the situation at the Brood Cafe, which I'm gonna look up that one. Or actually, I have it right here on my phone. But what other types of pushback have you gotten? I mean, have you gotten a lot of hate? Have you gotten a lot of support?
Both. A bunch of my supporters went to their. What do you call it? Their Yelp profile and one started. It's kind of a trolley move, but whatever. Like, they deserve it. Like, basically, I mean, they're the type of business that has signs up in their business saying, you know, this is a pro LGBT inclusive space. But like, one of the people in the video, you could see in the video, like, one of their customers was like calling me and my subscribers fags and stuff. And they led him back into the store after he did that. And so I thought to myself, pro LGBT inclusive my ass, like, you know, you're going to, you know, defend one of your employees who street harassed me because he thinks I'm an MRA because I have spoken out against circumcision and stuff like that.
Right.
And then you're going to defend somebody who calls me a faggot on camera while you have a sign up in your business that says, you know, don't be homophobic, don't be a fascist, whatever. So that was just hypocritical. But I don't know, like, as far as like the backlash is concerned, like, I've had a bunch of local radical people like send me dick pics. I've had I've had people make like shit posts about me saying like, this guy, just totally mischaracterizing what I do on my channel, just saying like, yeah, this Dan Durst guy, he goes around harassing people and he's anti-Antifa, which means that he's pro-fascism, you know, and like he hates women, and you know, he's anti-feminist, which means he hates women, which, by the way, I'm not necessarily anti-feminism. I'm not a feminist, you know?
Right.
And I'm partially critical of leftist and rightist movements, right? Which everybody should be. Just some shit posts, and I've gotten a couple threats, you know, they're all screen capped on my Facebook page. Like, you can go look at Durst the Worst on Facebook and find it. Just people revealing, like, I don't want to say like full on doxing, but pretty much they're like revealing the street that I live on. And, one person called me up as a prank, basically saying like, we've got like 50 Arby's sandwiches outside. Like, can you come out and get them? Like, can you give us your address so we can come give you these sandwiches? And it was basically an attempt to address at first to get me to correct it, with the correct address.
Yeah.
Trying to get me to like reveal my location.
One of your videos, people start chanting Daniel Durst is the worst. Is that where you got your name?
Oh, where I got my name. That's an interesting story in and of itself.
Okay.
So there was, I'm not going to name names here, but I used to be involved in sort of, I don't know if you have any experience with doing this type of thing, but DIY, like underground punk rock, basement shows. I was very involved in that from, I want to say, age 15 to 28 or so.
Okay.
And it came up like right around when, I mean, this is a really long-winded story, sorry, but I started to come of age like right around when the Bush war on Iraq thing was going on. So I became like pretty left-wing, like liberal, like fuck Republicans, fuck, you know, all this establishment crap.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the establishment of the time, right? In the early to mid aughts, like that was the establishment that you would want to rage against. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I was a pretty raging progressive. Like I even like registered people to vote for John Kerry at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so just hanging out at these punk shows, like making friends and probably some enemies too, whatever. Hanging out, getting drunk. But then like one of the people I met, like I started to became friends with, but eventually we started to have like a falling out, especially like around the time when I started to realize that a lot of the people like in the punk scene were getting really too hardcore in the other direction. Like around the time when the SJW thing started to come up, like around, I want to say it was like 2011.
Okay.
At least that's when I noticed it. I started to gradually like alter my views, and much to the chagrin of the people I was hanging out with too. Like, again, just really radical punk rock, underground, like feminist, anarchist, you name it, just hardcore leftist. So long story short, just there was this girl who hung out in the scene who did not take kindly to me or like my opinions on anything. And she and another guy made merchandise out of my face with the catchphrase, "Durst is the worst."
Right? Okay.
And so they posted that all around town to sort of like publicly embarrass me. And I just decided to say, hey, fuck it. I'm going to turn it around on them and use that for my branding, you know? So I took that image and made it my profile picture on YouTube, and I just became Durst the Worst. And last I heard, the chick who did this is really fucking pissed I started to do this.
That video where I saw where they were chanting Durst, Daniel Durst is the worst. I mean, I would embrace that. I mean, cause at least, yeah, you're getting, I mean, who wouldn't embrace it? Especially if you're the basis of your channel is going out and exposing and addressing these issues. To have a group change your name with like,
I know for a fact that at least a handful of those guys are, part of the scene that I used to be a part of.
Okay.
Like, you know, the underground, like punk rock basement, like dive bar, art gallery, like, you know, 20 people or 60 people crammed in a sweaty room, drinking beer, seeing a punk band, you know, that whole scene. Like they probably view me as like a traitor or something like that. Like I am not, you know, as into social justice issues as they are. So they immediately dismiss me as a, you know, like alt-right Richard Spencer, MRA, terrible Nazi person,
Well, that's
and
how
so it's like
if they can,
and if I'm a fascist for like showing you guys like objectively being terrible people and like throwing M80s into crowds of people, that's just, I don't know, that's just laughably absurd. That, and that's just something that I could dismiss outright.
Well, I mean,
you know, no matter what type of rumor campaign is going on.
The whole idea when you're trying to shut down what people are saying or covering your face while saying your talking points is, I mean, it screams that what you're saying is bullshit. You know what I mean? If you're that concerned about A, not hearing what your political opponents or whatever opponents are having to say, so you shut them down. And then while you're doing that, you're putting a black mask on your face so no one can see who you are while you're saying it. Then, man, nothing screams I'm full of shit more than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, that's why they rarely have anything to say. It's just they're brutes, you know, they're thugs. I don't really care what your politics are. Like, you can't tell me that that's why Antifa, in my estimation, are roundly disliked across the political spectrum. Like, they're not, I mean, well, while it is disconcerting that in Berkeley, for instance, they have, if not the backing, at least the, a pass from the mayor, Jesse Arguin. Have you heard about this?
No.
Damn, dude. Okay, so in the wake of the Battle of Berkeley, like the second one, the cops were ordered to stand down, and basically that's why you see what you see. You see just a borderline war zone because the cops were there, but they're all parked in their cars, just chilling like blocks away, just letting it happen, like letting these fucking Antifa people hurl dumpsters at people and burn garbage in the street and throw M80s at people and swing sticks at people, bash people in the skull with bike locks.
There's power in chaos, so man.
Basically, the only way that can be allowed to happen is either through the orders of the police chief or the mayor. And we know that the mayor of Berkeley is friends with Yvette Falarca and other assorted BAM members. He's a member of the Facebook by any means necessary group. You know, he has politics that are sympathetic with that type of ideology. So one could infer that he's sympathetic to, or at least gives a pass to this type of, let's be honest, terrorism.
Right.
That's what it
is. Yeah.
You know,
what do you see? Where do you want to go with your channel? What's the future of your channel?
I think I just want to keep going with it. I mean, just doing the same. I think there's a 2-day event coming up in August. I believe it's like Oath Keepers and Patriot Prayer are going to be in the Bay Area generally. There's going to be one in San Francisco proper, and then another the next day in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be another Antifa versus Trumpsters, like sort of street brawl, you know?
Okay.
So that's something that I'm looking forward to covering. I'm probably going to get more into the live stream format, which will probably have way more upsides in that, you know, I won't miss anything. And also like the content will go out immediately as opposed to like my having to go back to the hotel and edit it all up and then post it, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll immediately reach the audience live. There was this guy I was talking to who was talking about, this goes back to there being like sort of infighting among these right wingers. There's sort of this alt-right versus alt-light sort of infighting going on. And this guy that is talking to me over Facebook right now says that he wants to schedule a MMA style fight in a dojo with an alt-right dude. And I was like, I was like thinking to myself, first of all, I don't think there's anything legal about that. And he's like, no, dude, I know a guy from Spike TV and we're going to do it in a dojo and there's going to be a contract. And I'm like, I still don't think that's legal, dude. But regardless, if it ends up happening, that's something that I want to be there to cover for sure. An alt-light or slash conservative versus alt-right MMA fight, like that would just be just over the top, absurd, but entertaining. All fuck. So that's the next event that I believe I'm going to be covering.
Okay. So your
late August.
Your brand is going to be more of like on the scene, covering live sort of things, giving the unflinching, I guess, look into what's going on.
Yeah, I think, well, previously I was pre-recording everything and then just posting it afterwards. But I think now a better approach that a lot of these other people are, like Tim Pool, for instance, you know about Tim Pool? He's another guy doing this. He just does live streams and then we'll cut up pertinent events later and post them. I think that's a better approach. Again, just immediately gets the content out to people so they can see what's going on as it happens.
You could do it live and then, because, you know, it could be 3 or 4 hours and that takes a lot, you know, because people who are wondering, like, if something's going down in Berkeley and I can jump on a live stream, I'm going to watch it. But after the fact, you're going to want like more of a best of, you know, something that's, because some of it can just be, you know, listening to people drone on and on about,
Not saying that that's what you would do, but I'm saying that's what protesters would be doing, is just droning on and on. So, yeah, but you're absolutely right about streaming it, because if your phone gets destroyed, you know it's there and you got it. So that's pretty
key. Yeah, exactly. So like, in the instance of in Berkeley, when they grabbed my phone and they threw it in the storm drain, yeah, and I had to go rush to get it back, like that would have all been, you know, live documented, like as it was happening. So like, yeah. And, one thing that I'm going to have to probably do is update my data, like get unlimited data. God knows how much data, like a 4-hour live stream is going to take up.
Or just get one of those, what are they called? Jetpacks, something like that. And then throw that in your backpack and then just tether to it. That's probably a way to do it too. Because you must
jetpack.
Yeah. You must
Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah, and what would also, you probably eat through lots of batteries too. You're gonna have to get like some sort of external battery pack.
Yeah, I got the external battery pack unlocked. Yeah, that's pretty pertinent. That way you never run out, like on either your main phone or your backup.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, I got to wrap this up. But hey, first off, thanks for coming on. It was actually a really good talk. And unfortunately, you're right. I'm going to have to like self-censor myself on some things because things could be construed the wrong way, which is freaking so disappointing. But you never know in today's society. I mean, someone could take what I said about Michael Brown and end up freaking putting me on local newspaper or something about how I'm, I don't know. I have no idea. But I'll probably edit down. But I'm definitely going to put majority of this out and take a couple weeks. So folks, basically all you have to do is just Google Durst the Worst, and they're going to at least get to your Facebook or your YouTube or your Twitter. But do you have a website or anything like that?
No, that should be in the works though, shouldn't it? I mean, basically you just type in Durst and you'll find like any number of social media sites that I'm on, be it YouTube or Facebook, Twitter, and it all links back to the same raucous, in your face, you know, uncut, uncompromising content. So
cool.
Just like look out for me out there. I mean, if you see me, say hey, what's up? You know, I'm relatively easy to talk to, and just subscribe, I guess. That's all I can say.
All right, man.
Enjoy.
Yeah, thanks for your talk. I had fun, and I'll send you a tweet when I get this up. And like I said, it's just going to be audio version, be MP3 or iTunes or my website. I mean, it'll be in a bunch of different places. But
cool, man.
Thanks for taking your time.
Cool, no problem, man. Thanks a lot for having me on here.
All right, man. Thanks again, and stay safe out there. Right? Don't let an Antifa get you.
Word, man. Yeah. Thanks a lot, and wish me luck, dude.
All right. Yeah. All right. Take care, bud.
Yeah, take care, buddy. Take it easy.
Like us on facebook.com/WWI Podcast and at WWI Podcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.